This is Teresa Pushkar. I'm a producer here at Nightingale Conant, and I have the distinct pleasure of having Dr. David Hawkins in the studio with me today here in Arizona, beautiful Arizona. Welcome, Dr. Hawkins.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Beautiful place that we're speaking today.
Thank you. The focus of this program is truth versus falsehood and spiritual discernment, Dr. Hawkins. I know in your latest writing, you have a quote that starts it that I found very provocative. I'd love your further input on it. The quote is, "Enslavement by illusion is comfortable. It's the liberation by truth that people fear."
That's true.
Could you expand on that for me?
Yeah, the old saying is, if you tell the truth and then quickly leave town, meaning that people would prefer their illusions rather than be confronted. And, of course, about oneself, one holds all kinds of illusions. People will protest about truth. You can hear it in politics, you know. Both of these politicians can't be telling the truth because they're telling opposite stories. So somebody is violating the truth for personal gain. So the reason falsehood is valued is because there's an egoistic gain in it, and to relinquish it would seem like a loss. So greed, you know, as long as it can be rationalized, you know, it works. And why would you rationalize it? Because that subserves the ego. As one evolves, you need less and less. And frankly, you don't really need anything at all. When you have let go of the wants and the must-haves and all that kind of thing, you need very little, you know. Because happiness stems from within, and happiness is really a consequence of one's level of consciousness rather than anything out there, any acquisitions or ownerships. And finally, it becomes self-sufficient. You don't need anything out there. Eventually, you reach the point you don't even need the physical body. You know, it's sort of an irrelevant nuisance, to tell you the truth. And the human mind is programmed. And, of course, the human mind is innocent because it's like the hardware of the computer, and then society programs it. So the human mind has no defense against falsehood because the hardware will play any software that you play on it. So all day long, around the clock, 7 days a week, year in and year out, we get programmed constantly. Programmed by the media, of course, now very heavily. Programmed by the attitudes of others, by the prejudices of others, by imaginary rewards and losses. It's a process of maturation, and the evolution of consciousness itself overall is an overall field of mankind. And within that, your own personal evolution of consciousness, which is dependent on a great multitude of factors. However, I think it's very interesting that at the moment of birth, everybody already shows a calibrated level of consciousness. You know, people ask you, what about karma and all such things, you know? Well, everybody is born with a different level of consciousness. So how did that arise? You know? So consciousness evolves over great eons of time. And people say, well, religion, Christianity doesn't teach that. Other religions do. Christianity does teach karma, plenty about karma. It says, first of all, where you go after physical death is going to be one karmic absolute determined by good and evil and your choices thereof. Then it says, collectively, mankind is already subject to the karma of the Garden of Eden and the consequences there. Though Christianity teaches karma, it just doesn't use that term. It's a Sanskrit term. But why would man need his salvation in the first place? Why would Jesus Christ? Why does man need a savior? It's because karmically, in other words, he inherited the human consciousness. And the human consciousness is dualistic. The Garden of Eden was non-dualistic. So man fell from a non-dualistic heavenly place, and he wanted to know good and evil. So now you're asking the linear domain. And once he got involved in the linear domain, man left the pristine peace and beauty of, you know, really a celestial realm.
Why are you compelled at this point in time to discuss with the public truth versus falsehood?
It's because as a consequence of the evolution of consciousness, the time has come for this to present itself. Of which I'm just a vehicle, you know, I'm just a vehicle. It's the consciousness level of mankind that reached a point where it realized that its survival, its success, and its happiness depend on the capacity to discern truth from falsehood. And then out of that arose kinesiology, and then out of that arose a witness to the kinesiology, who comprehended it on a nonlinear level beyond cause and effect. And out of that came a calibrated level scale of consciousness, and the capacity to discern truth from falsehood for the first time in the history of mankind. That's an incredible gift. And you might say karmically man had to earn that gift. You might say man karmically, because of his denial of truth in the first place, or his repudiation of the sovereignty of God, whatever the big mistake was, and now has earned back the capacity, at least, within the linear domain. At a certain evolved level of consciousness, classically called the opening of the third eye of the Buddhic body, he's able to discern essence. But until he is able to discern essence, he has to rely on authority of truth from falsehood. And nowadays, the integrity of authority is questioned. You know, it's supposed to be cute and smart to say question authority. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Anyway, because right away it says, well, therefore question, you know, the intention of the person who asked the question in the first place.
So you say humankind has deserved or
evolved
so that we have the right now to learn truth from falsehood.
It's earned it by virtue of that which it is, not as a reward system, not in the viewpoint of causality. But just as the octopus got to be extremely clever. You ever watch an octopus at the bottom of the sea? You know, extremely clever, brilliant mind. Instantly knows how to look like everything around it. It'll even imitate a checkered pattern. You put an octopus on a checkerboard and he'll develop checkers. Unbelievable capacity. Just, and that's only a calibration level 20. Octopus is only a 20.
Now, at this point, you're reminding me, as I've worked with you, your joy of life, your love of simple things. And is this something that comes from shaking the belief systems that we currently have and your commitment to seeing the truth in all things?
I think there's a tendency, it begins maybe even in early childhood, to value that which is beautiful, serene, loving. You almost intuit the sacredness of all that exists. You begin to experience it. You know, as a kid, you love your kitties, you love your toys, you love your doggie, you love your mom, you love your teacher at school. You begin to love everything, and then you go down from there. You know, you start out with that intrinsic innocence.
And do we get conditioned out of it by ourselves?
Then we get that's your hardware. Your hardware is to trust and love everything. And then society comes in and programs you. And, of course, you live in a linear domain. So you can't just, when you're 3 years old, cross the street without you holding your mommy's hand, because the cars will just run you over. So survival in the physical domain demands linearity. And, therefore, the linear then has good versus bad, food versus poison. And let's say all of animal life has had to learn that. The amoeba has to know that which is poison from that which is food. So the innate capacity of consciousness then is to be able to discern that which is true from that which is false, that which is supportive of life and that which is inimical to life. So it's almost like a protoplasmic wisdom that has evolved over the millennia. Intrinsically, on a certain level, one knows truth from falsehood. In fact, unconsciously, everyone knows when they're being lied to. That has implications for the advertising industry, by the way.
I bet it does.
Well, yes, because an actress who comes on and says, I used to have a bad stomach, then I took these, and now my stomach is all right. She's saying that because she's pretty and she's photogenic and all that. But she never did do that, so she's lying. Everybody knows that. Do you know that? You take some old ordinary-looking person who used to have terrible hyperacidity, and now they're cured, and they come on and say, you know, since I took this, I don't have to be as afraid of getting hyperacidity. They're twice as convincing. You can double your return on the money you spend in marketing, advertising.
Wow, so this comes to integrity, what you've
talked about. You got to have a real person who really had that experience, and now they're convincing. And the other one imitates it. They're pretty nice to look at, but, you know, it doesn't convince you.
No.
It doesn't convince you.
You know you're being had.
Yeah, you know you're being had. Mm-hmm. Now, I want the real guy who really lived it and said, by God, this does so-and-so. That's how we really go with it, you know.
Okay. It makes good sense.